It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. Our college football playback, as the Pirates are off this week, so we thought we would still do a show for the playback. And I know we'll start things off with the birthday boy, and that will be none other than Kyle from LaGrange Barber. Happy birthday, man.
Appreciate it, dude. What's going on?
Ready for a talk some football. Bubba Rosenbaum, how are you?
Doing well, guys. A lot of terrific games yesterday, and a lot for us to talk about for sure.
I know, guys, we have a very special guest. Very to have him, happy to have him on.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey,
yes, Trent McGee from 94.3.
Yeah, I don't know why Bubba was supposed to introduce him there. So, how you doing, Trent? How you doing, man? Sorry about that.
I'm doing great, guys. It's hard to believe we're already in week 8 of the college football season, so glad to be on with you.
It's going to be a lot of fun. In fact, there was a great article. I couldn't find your email address, Trent, but certainly we'll talk about that in a little bit. Yahoo Sports had a great article about, I guess, kind of like a progress report, and I already thought about that as a way to start off our show as far as we could start with the Pirates first. You're the guest, Trent. I wanted to get your take on what you think the first half of the season. How do you think the Pirates are looking?
You know, I think they've gotten better each and every game, and that's relatively speaking. I mean, you know, you look at the first half of the schedule, with the exception of obviously the NC State game and the Navy game, I think the schedule is and the Temple game, I think the schedule is played out the way that many people thought it would. Good win at Old Dominion. You face three good teams with NC State, Navy, and Temple. And despite the lopsided loss at NC State and at Navy, I still think the Pirates, if you compare them to where they were at this point last season, have gotten better each and every game. And that's a positive sign for me. I think we've seen the defense make big-time improvements. The offense is still kind of slow to get going, and I haven't seen enough consistency in the offense yet to look down the schedule and think you can pinpoint certain games they can win. But having said that, they're making some plays here and there. I just need to see more from them offensively, more of a consistent rhythm. You know, we saw a great drive to open the Temple game Thursday night a week ago, and then after that, the offense kind of sputtered after that. But I'm really impressed with the way the defense has played, and really with, and you hear this all the time, guys, you hear about players buying into a coach's system, and I believe that with some teams, other teams I don't. With ECU right now, I do. I think they've bought into Mike Houston's system. I think they're believing they can compete in games and win games. So I do think the future is bright. You know, again, I can't look at the schedule right now with the exception of maybe UConn, maybe Tulsa as two games they can possibly win. The other ones are going to be tough down the road. But overall, you know, I'm okay with where they are right now because I think they're going to get better, certainly as time goes on.
And, Kyle, I know with you, we've talked about it at length, the biggest surprise has been the defense has done the best they could so far, and the offense has been the biggest, I hate to use the word disappointment, but we thought they would be a lot better, a lot further along than they've started out.
Defense has been good as they can be. I think if you look at the talent we have on defense, you know, most of it's young, so that bodes well for the future. I think on offense, a couple things. One, we lack playmakers. We've done a piss poor job in recruiting, developing playmakers as a skill position. And you know, I thought the biggest problem would be the O line, and the O line is not great. But we don't have receivers really that can get behind coverage and create separation. I mean, which is shocking to me. I think C.J. Johnson is a true freshman, showed the most potential, so that's good going forward. And one thing I do wonder about the offense. Darius Penix was going to be a focal point of the offense. It was made clear before the season, made clear the first two games. He had a tremendous game against Gardner-Webb, and we hadn't seen him since because of injury. I wonder how much farther along this offense would be if we had Penix. I think it may be surprising how much further along it would be. When you spend all offseason kind of making somebody a focal point of your offense and you don't have them, that's going to hold you back a little bit. In terms of the schedule the rest of the way, like Trent mentioned, UConn. That's a game we should win. Tulsa's a bit up and down. They had a nice win over Wyoming. They almost beat SMU. Then they get destroyed by Navy at home, just like we did on the road. So who knows what to get with Tulsa. South Florida's one. They're getting better, don't let that BYU game yesterday scare you too much. BYU beat USC and Tennessee to start the year, and then now they're struggling. They're 2-4, and they were down to their third-string quarterback in the fourth quarter against South Florida yesterday. So I do think South Florida's turning the corner with their running game, but don't be surprised if we're not in a battle with them and have a really good chance to beat them in a couple of weeks in Greenville.
I agree with that. You know, Bubba Rosenbaum, we're going to bring you in. I think as far as the games left on the schedule, that USF game, we need a lot of people. I say it a lot, but we need a lot of people in Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, don't we? The numbers, we've got to have a big rocking crowd for that USF game because that's one that's a must win.
No doubt about it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bubba.
No doubt about it. Thank you. Sorry, you can edit this. Of course, I get my food right when you pitch it to me. No doubt about it. Taking a look at that USF game, and so that it's one. I think it's homecoming. I know when we had John Gilbert on, he said that the ticket sales have gone pretty well for that. So hopefully, we'll have close to 40,000, maybe over 40,000. We'll see. But nonetheless, we need to lock this atmosphere that day. That's a program that we haven't had success against, and to put it mildly, we've had one victory against USF, and I'm like Kyle, they're very much a one-dimensional team right now. Cronkite, the running back, he had close to 160 yards yesterday against BYU, but they're definitely a team that we can beat if we play the way we can play.
You know, Trent, Kyle actually had a preseason prediction that we could actually upset UCF. I don't know if he still can keep that, but I don't know if he still wants to do that or not.
No, I'm not calling the upset over UCF. That was false bravado, as it were. But
yeah, and looking to Kyle's point, to Bubba's point about USF, I mean, they play Navy next Saturday. So, and then after the ECU game in Greenville, they play the toughest stretch maybe in the American Conference to close the season with Temple, Cincinnati, Memphis, and UCF. So that's a game you know they're going to want to win, and they think they can win. So I'm like Kyle. I think USF is going to be a tough game for the Pirates. I mean, and they USF kind of they're up and down, and you don't know what to expect from them. But I think they get better as the season goes on. When you look at the last half of their slate, I think they're looking at an ECU game and thinking we got to win this game. So they're going to come into Greenville with everything they have, thinking we got to win this one because we know the next five, are going to be really tough games after that.
Yeah, we're going to have the same mindset. We're going to say we got to win that one too. And to me, if I'm Mike Houston, I love the box. I put 8 in the box and don't let that running back beat us and until the quarterback beat us. I don't think he can do it. Now, they may force some turnovers and beat us in a low-scoring game, but if you can find a way to take that running back out of the equation – their quarterback, I would be shocked if he's able to go down the field almost consistently.
And he's had a lot. Has he had a lot of? I know the one for the quarterback for Temple had a lot of turnovers. Has he had a lot of turnovers at USF? The quarterback.
I'm not sure. He's just not very good. But their running back, that running back, you said his name a minute ago, Bubba. What is it?
Yeah, Jordan Cronkite.
Cronkite's good. He's real good. And you know what I saw from BYU yesterday, they really fully shut down on the run game. They kept trying to play their base defense and put pressure on the quarterback and whatnot. And I don't know, you know, I don't know why they didn't just overload the box and say beat us throwing. But Conkright's good. He's real, real good.
And Jordan McLeod, guys, only threw for 72 yards at USF's quarterback in that game. And they had to rally in that game. They were down early in that first half. So, I think Kyle's right. Jordan McLeod is very inconsistent right now.
Looking ahead, you were talking about November. The schedule for us for the Pirates is not going to be easy. When you look at the likes of even though it's a home game, you have two home games back to back with USF in 2 weeks, and then you have Cincinnati will be in 3 weeks. That first Saturday in November. But then you have at SMU, right? And then you have a bye week Connecticut and Tulsa. So Connecticut is one that you feel like you can win, but you never know with the way things work out. They could be saying the same thing. That's one we can win. That's the way, unfortunately, our team has become, where everybody looks at ECU now as a winnable game, where it used to be.
Connecticut's awful. Connecticut's awful, but I'll tell you what bothers me about that game. It's in late November, and it's senior day.
Cold.
November and senior day. that bothers me about that game. I think we'll go into that game as a significant road favorite. I mean, they're bad.
Yeah, that's what worries me, is that we're overlooking them.
When you take cold weather and it's senior day, who knows what can happen? We will be coming off of our second off week when we play UConn, and we will be focused to win that game no matter what.
And who would have thought at this point in the season, and I don't want to look too far ahead, but when you look at after USF, that Cincinnati and SMU would be in the top 20. I mean, I didn't see that coming, to be honest with you, before the season began. So two very tough back-to-back games. I mean, really, right now with the way ECU's playing, the remainder of the schedule is going to be tough. And UConn could be a tough game as well. You just never know what to expect from them on that particular day, late in November. So it's, you know, it's going to be tough from here on out.
You know, you look at this. You look at even baseball or Baseball Reference with the Nationals beating the Dodgers. If on paper, the Dodgers spend more money pretty much than everybody except maybe the Yankees, and they upset the Dodgers. You know, so anybody, you have to play the games, and that's why I'm looking forward to the second half of the season. And we always seem to. This is the thing that worries me. We always seem to beat somebody we shouldn't. Is a common theme for the Pirates, and we always lose to somebody we shouldn't, like a Connecticut. That's what worries me. If there was some way that we could upset somebody that we shouldn't beat, and then maybe you could win a Connecticut. And Kyle talks about, too, the schedule of Tulsa at the very end, that last game of the season. That might be a chance. We're hoping that...
Yeah, if we can beat South Florida and UConn, all of a sudden you're playing Tulsa for six wins. I mean, so people don't really... You're sitting here with three wins, you know, even though two are against FCS. And 6-6 most likely wouldn't get us to a bowl, but there is that chance.
Yeah.
If we can find a way to beat South Florida and Greenville on homecoming, take care of business at Connecticut, you could be playing Tulsa for 6-6. And wouldn't that be exciting to be playing for something the last weekend of the season?
And if not, it's like a bowl game, right, guys? It'll be like a bowl game where, and to think that this program has been 3-9 for three straight years, and you double that in 1 year after Mike Houston. I mean, even if we are 6-6, let's say we go 6-6 and we don't go to bowl, that's better than the 3-9 for three. I'll take it.
Oh yeah, that's an afterthought. I mean, the schedule is what it is. The two FCS opponents. If we can find a way to get two wins between now and Tulsa, and then just be playing for the opportunity to be 6-6. I'll be ecstatic.
I'm with you on that.
Oh, no.
Trent, I was going to ask you guys, all three of you, have you guys heard any more? One good thing about having the bye week right now is I know it's been a kind of a tricky injury. Have you guys had an update as far as the status injury or the status report as far as Darius Penix is concerned?
I haven't heard if Penix is going to be back in the lineup for UCF or not. The only thing I've heard is that his rehab is going well and that he's doing better. I don't know how many reps he's going to get this week in practice. I think they're going to take it slow with him in hopes that they can maybe bring him back at some point, in the next couple of games to have him at full strength and ready to go for the last for the remaining portion of the schedule. But I haven't heard anything concrete yet as to whether or not he's going to be back in the lineup. I don't expect him to be back against UCF.
Yeah,
somebody asked. I don't know. Press conference Tuesday, Trent. I don't know if you're going to be there. Dave is. I guess Brennan will be there.
Yeah, he'll be there.
So we need to put that question on Brennan. Tell Brennan to ask an update on Darius Penix and when he'll be back.
Well, you think with the stable of running backs we have, it's not like that's actually a position. Not that you want to rush a guy back and hurt him, not only potentially for the season, but obviously his overall health period with that injury. But you would like to think that they would be able to rely on the other running backs and get him healthy fully, like 100%.
Yeah,
and guys, to that point, I mean, Mooney, Demetrius Mooney, Trace Christian, Tay Williams, I mean, those guys, again, they're young, but they stepped into the role, and I think they played, you know, good football. I think they've been asked to do a lot in the absence of Darius Penix. So, you know, hats off to those guys for the way they played against an offensive line that we all know hasn't performed very well. So those guys are getting better, too. So that's a good sign for the Pirates.
Trent, what did you see yesterday that caught your eye outside of the world of Pirate football? What were you watching yesterday?
Yeah, obviously in the SEC, and the SEC is fun to watch every week, guys, and I was glued to my TV for that South Carolina-Georgia game, and that was one heck of a game that was just going back and forth to the end. I mean, the Gamecocks had a chance to win it there late with the field goal, missed it, and then lo and behold, I was thinking, you know, Will Muschamp can't catch a break, and then he catches a break with Blankenship missing that field goal. So that was a big-time shocking win for South Carolina against a Georgia team that I think now faces a huge uphill battle. And I know that one-loss teams against even unranked teams can still get to that college football playoff, but it's going to be a really tough remainder of the schedule now for Georgia, having to face Florida and Auburn to get back in there. So they have to remain perfect now. And guys, I'll say this. I know it's going to be, you know, on deaf ears, but this is why college football needs a playoff right here. I mean, if that game didn't tell you that, it's why we need one. Because if Georgia does end up running the table and they don't get in, you have to look at their strength of schedule and think, man, I mean, look who they played. I mean, I don't know who could jump them. You know, you got a Wisconsin out there who's playing good football. Ohio State's playing good football. Of course, Oklahoma is playing well. And I think they're going to really click late in the season. So right now it's wide open. But that game yesterday, Kyle, was the one I was looking at the most. You know, and then last night, you know, with LSU and Florida, I mean, I think all eyes yesterday or on Saturday were on the SEC. And LSU, that was a statement win for them. Now jumping in the top, into the top 25, or I'm sorry, the top five at number two. They're a team right now that controls their own destiny.
Yeah, well, I think Georgia can easily still make the playoffs. I say easily. It ain't easy to run the table with the schedule they got. But if they run the table and they beat Auburn and they beat Florida and then they win the SEC championship game against either Alabama or LSU, they're going to be in the playoffs. Now, that's a lot easier said than done.
Right. That's the key right there. Is I think the biggest problem for the SEC is just the fact that they have so many great teams in the league. It kind of like I want to make an argument too, guys, like with American. You look at the American, and we it looks like every year you can see more and more teams. You look at the SMUs of the world, all of a sudden they've really blossomed. You look at Memphis has been good, but they had a period of time where they were down, but they're good again under Norvell. And then you have one of my favorite teams.
Yeah, the period of time they were down was the previous 40 years of Memphis football up until the last 15.
I know, I'm just saying, like, in other words, in recent times have been better than the last. And then you have what Tulane is looking really good now. You look, pretty much every team, even Tulsa's played better than we expected preseason. They played, I know they've been up and down, but they played way better than I thought they would. I'm seeing some, there might be some glimmers of hope for the fans out in Tulsa, but you look at Cincinnati is very good. Look how well Temple's playing right now. They're tied in the they're tied for first in the East. I didn't see that coming. I thought they would be more like third behind UCF and Cincinnati. Cincinnati UCF would be a new first, and then it would be Temple. I thought would be third, and here we are now. They're tied for first right now after that big win.
Yeah, Cincinnati's the best team in the East, and UCF second best team in the East. Temple's got a good defense. They force a lot of turnovers. They're not going to win the division. They're going to end up losing. And they may lose to somebody, just like some of the wins they have been surprising. Temple already lost one they shouldn't to Buffalo, and I wouldn't be surprised if they don't lose another one that makes you scratch your head. Just the nature of how they play. They get a lot of turnovers, and they turn it over a lot. Look, the American, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, I'll stand beside it. You take Clemson out of the ACC, take Clemson, put them over there in the corner. The American's better than the ACC. And I mean that when I say it, 100%. You take the American, you take Cincinnati and let them play Louisville. You take UCF and put them against Miami. You take UVA and put them against Temple. You go on down the line. We can go toe to toe with the ACC any day of the week. The ACC is a one trick pony, and the pony's name's Clemson. And the American needs to start getting credit for what they are. And what we are is truly a Power Six league. And I really believe the American, from top to bottom, is stronger or just as strong as the ACC in the Pac-12. And you just look at the lineup. Really look at it and break it down and put them head-to-head. Now, take Clemson out because nobody else in the ACC can beat Clemson. So let's just take them out of the equation and put the rest of the teams, you know, up against each other. I mean, I think people would be surprised at the results if there was an ACC American football challenge.
And Kyle, to your point, you take a look at the Coastal Division. The Coastal Division is very much up for grabs amongst a lot of people the way it has been for years. And then the Atlantic, Clemson, and like you said, I mean, you know who's second in the Atlantic Division right now?
Louisville?
Virginia.
Louisville.
After
Louisville's upset win at Wake Forest, they're second in that division.
Yep. So Virginia lost to Miami Friday night. So, I mean,
and that's the Coastal Division that Bub was speaking of. I mean, Louisville second, the Coastal, UVA second, the Atlantic right now. And I think Kyle's right to a certain degree. I will say this, though. I think with taking Clemson out with everyone else in the ACC, I think Wake Forest, I think Virginia, despite their good seasons up to this point, have played above their heads. I never thought they were as good as what they were playing, and I think that's a product of their schedule to some degree. But I think on any given day, when you look at the bottom half, or really, you know, you take out UCF and Memphis and Cincinnati from the American, maybe take out Clemson and Virginia from the ACC, I think any of those teams in both conferences can beat anyone on any given day. So, but right now, I think the American, right now in 2019, is just as strong as the ACC, and we've never said that, maybe ever.
How about this? Another thing that was interesting, guys, yesterday is one of the problems the ACC has is there's two powers that are not powers right now, and my favorite coach of college football, Willie Taggart, and Florida State, and then obviously Miami has not been the Miami that we grew up with. And so those two teams right there, and the, for example, in the league, is something that they need Florida State to be good. They need Miami to be good for an Atlantic Coast Conference. Those are two teams they got for example, Florida State. If you take Florida State out in the early 90s when they came into the league for the Atlantic Coast Conference, it was nothing but surely a basketball conference. And maybe you could argue a little bit of baseball, but baseball, I think, has gotten better recently in recent years. But you look at now, the Florida State's not good. When you look, Miami's not where they used to be. There's other teams that you maybe could throw in there. Syracuse, we thought were going to be better this year. They're not as good as what we thought. And then some of the other teams, maybe you could argue powerhouses like Pitt, they need to be better, and Boston College needs to be better. But there's actually teams in there that should be better, and they're not. I think that's one of the problems with the Atlantic Coast Conference Football League right now.
And, guys, when you look at the conferences and you compare the way that I think all the leagues are playing right now, I think the SEC, without a doubt, is at the top. And then you go either Big 12 or Big 10. And then you go – then maybe you go the American, maybe you go the ACC. I mean, right now, believe it or not, and, Kyle, I think you might agree, I might put the American ahead of the ACC. I mean, I think you might go SEC, Big 10, or Big 12, and then you go the American and maybe the ACC, just looking at how the entire conference has performed up to this point.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, you know, we were saying earlier, I think the American, you go toe-to-toe with the ACC any day of the week. And, you know, it is what it is with the perception of the whole Power Five bull crap. And until the so-called administrations of the so-called Group of Five schools grow some nuts and say, you know what, this is antitrust. We're all supposed to be under the Division I umbrella. This gives you an unfair advantage by using a term that is not a recognized term by the NCAA. It's a made-up term. There's no such thing as Power Five and Group of Five. And if you don't quit calling us that, we're going to sue the hell out of you. And until that happens, until we get some administrations and some conference leaders at these conferences and these schools to stand up to people, and you know, it's going to keep on. We're never going to be able to catch up, no matter how good we are.
And Trent, I know that looking at the time, looking at the clock, I know unfortunately you have to go, but did you want to have any final thoughts on that or before we let you go?
Yeah, you know, I think Kyle's right, and it's a fight that the American certainly has been fighting for quite some time. It's a fight that a league like, you know, it's not quite on, you know, on the same level, but, I mean, a Conference USA is fighting the same deal. I mean, and those two leagues, I mean, you have four teams right now in Conference USA who have unblemished records. So, I mean, they can want to say the same thing as what the American's saying. I do think the American's a better league, obviously, than Conference USA. But, I mean, again, I know it's cliche. It's been talked about for years now. But I just think until you go to a system to where every team gets a chance to compete to play for a national championship, I just don't think it's ever going to be a fair system. It's just not. I mean, you know, the NCAA hopes they get it right every year with this playoff system they have going on right now. And maybe the last couple of years, they have got it right. I mean, Clemson was, I think, the best football team in college football a season ago. But I just don't think you're going to get that every year. I think that you know going to take chances with who they pick to be in the top four, and if it plays out with the top two teams meeting, then they're going to say, well, we got it right. But again, even having said that, having doing it that way, I just don't think it's a fair shake. I just don't, and I don't have you know the recipe for a perfect playoff system. But in my mind, it seems like it would just be. I don't think it's as complex as the NCAA is making it out to be.
No,
I think they can find a way to take 8 or even 16 teams and put together a very good competitive playoff system. And mark my words, you would see some teams that would be in the bottom half of that playoff bracket that would upset some teams and find their way into week 2 or week 3 of that playoff.
That's what they don't want.
The 18 playoff, you have your so-called Power 5 champions, you have 2 at-larges. Then you have the best team from the so-called group of 5. There's your 8 teams.
I mean, that would be a big improvement compared to now. I mean, it's sad, Trent, when you think about the fact that East Carolina has been known for many years of how great football, and when basketball has not been good. But on paper, if you have some kind of miracle season under Joe Dooley now or in the future, they have more of a chance on paper to at least we know what the path is to get to the national championship than our football team.
And when you look at it, and that's a great point, and you know, the NCAA basketball obviously has it right, you know. And so for the sport of college football that drives college football from a revenue standpoint is the most popular sport by far in collegiate athletics, if not in the country, you know, maybe with the exception of the NFL, certainly when you get into the playoffs, and then beyond that, divisional round, Super Bowl, et cetera. But, I mean, college football, they can do this and make it even more popular. And I think if it's all about dollars, I think they can make more dollars that way. I just don't understand why you can't take – if you can find sponsors to sponsor bowl games, you can find sponsors to sponsor playoff games. Unless I'm missing something, it's the same thing in my mind. You know, and they can sponsor, you know, games each week. It can be the, you know, Kyle Barber Bowl, you know, in week 1. And you can get the same amount of dollars you can get from that from it being a bowl game. I mean, you take it and you play it at the team's site with the best record. I mean, you take the best record and that team, you know, host. And, you know, that's just – plus, I think you get more fans there. I mean, you minimize the travel, I think, for some teams. And it's just, and it gives the opposing team a chance to maybe not have to go as far to watch their team play in a playoff game. So, again, I don't think it's as complex as they make it out to be. I'm sure I know there's more to it than what we're talking about. I get that, but you know, at some point, I would love to see them go to that system to give everyone a fair shot. Because right now, when you go into a season in college football, and it's been this way for forever. I mean, a team like ECU or a team like UCF or anyone in the American or anyone in Conference USA or the Pac-12 for that matter, they're going into the season knowing we have to play absolutely perfect. We can't lose. I mean, we can't have any blemish on our record, you know, or you know, we have no chance. And I just don't think that's the fair way to go right now, especially with the way the competition is. And when you have 4 or 5 teams who are heads above better than the rest, I mean, we know they're going to be there. So give these other teams a chance, other leagues a chance, you know, to make a name for themselves. And I think it can be done, and I hope it gets done at some point in the future.
Well, you know, it's easy to find logistical reasons for something not to work when you don't want it to work. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
And as far as the bowl games go, even if you were to go out as far as the 16-team playoff, you still keep the bowl system in place. We have around 80 teams make the postseason. So if you have a 16-team playoff, then the other teams with 6-6 records or better still go to bowl.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Are they listening to us? I mean, we send this to them. I mean, because it just seems like it's what we're talking about. It's so easy to put together.
One of the biggest problems is Trent, and nobody's ever going to say this, but I'll tell you what it is. When Mississippi State can pump their chest and say, "I'm in the SEC, don't go to Southern Miss because you won't ever make the playoffs," you ain't going to make the playoffs at Mississippi State either. They ain't winning the SEC, but they can say it. When USC and NC State can pump their chest and say, "Hey, don't go to East Carolina or App State," because we're in the ACC, we're Power 5, they can't make the playoffs. Well, guess what? NC State and Carolina ain't a bit more making the playoffs than East Carolina is, but they can still say it. And as long as those second-tier schools get to keep their little recruiting advantage, that's the problem. It's not the Alabamas and the LSUs of the world.
No.
It's the NC States and the Mississippi State that are worried about little brother in Greenville and in Hattiesburg catching up with them when they don't have an unfair advantage of us anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Trent, well, before we let you go, I know that certainly you got game coverage coming up on Saturday afternoon, right? And then Saturday night you'll be there for the post game, for the No Quarter post game show.
Yeah, we sure do, Dave. And on 94.3 The Game, we'll have the Choose Fuse Pirate Game Day countdown coming your way at 4 o'clock. It'll be from 4 to 6 with Patrick Johnson and his team. And then following that, we'll have the No Quarter postgame show, following network coverage, I should say, of ECU and UCF on 94.3 The Game. And as we always do, we'll speak with you guys. It'll be another late game, obviously, but not much we can do about that. And by the way, if I can, the late time, the kickoffs being so late, you know, it's – I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it. I'd love to see us get a 3 o'clock game here and there, 3:30 game here and there. For guys like us who are doing things after the game, it does make it difficult sometimes. But, yeah, we'll be back on with the No Quarter postgame show following network coverage on 94.3 The Game, and we look forward to speaking with you guys after the game.
All right.
Sounds great. Appreciate the visit, and appreciate all that you guys do on 94.3 The Game, and certainly look forward to the coverage coming up on Saturday against UCF.
Hey, Dave, thanks. And I want to say appreciate this, too. You. Thanks for what you guys do, because you guys have a unique, a really unique thing going with the Sports Objective. So thanks for what you guys do and for adding a different perspective to Sports Talk Radio and really to all of ECU Media. You guys do a great job, so keep it up.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Talk to you guys soon.
All right. We'll let you run. All right. Bye. All right. Great to hear from Trent McGee from 94.3 The Game. And, guys, I tell you what, certainly I wanted to add to what we were just talking about. Can we put a ban on the podcast of not saying Power 5 or Group of 5 anymore? Can we have some kind of name? Can we?
It's going to be – I hate it just as much as anybody. It's just become – a part of the dialect of college football. You know, I'd love to say, yeah, let's put a ban on it, but we're going to end up paying it by accident. maybe we'll call it the oppressed five and the communist five.
Anything's better, but you know, with the very fact of where I'm coming from is we do exactly the same thing that they're doing, and we're already at that step. The reason why we were independent for so many years is because of Coach Pat Dye wanting to be Division I, and I think it's a slap in the face of a great legendary coach like Pat Dye who moved us up to that division, and I think it's a slap in the face when you say, wait a minute, you guys were – I mean, why don't they just say that the – this is what I want them to do. Why don't they just say that these top 64, if you will, are one, and maybe we were – two and have a different levels. I mean, just like high school football.
You don't want them to do that, Dave. You just think you do.
No, I'm just saying that's where I think it's. I mean, in other words, I think what I'm saying is that's not what I want. I'm saying I want them to be honest. I want them to be honest and not try to. If we're doing exactly the same thing, then we should be eligible for exactly what they're doing as well. That's my point. It's not like we're
I agree with you 100%.
FCS or we're Division II, Division III, and I'm not knocking them. I love those divisions too. I'm just saying it's almost like the way I was thinking about this morning, guys, driving in to work. It's almost like we're FCS and we want to be an FBS, and we're pretending to be FBS when we're FCS. It's just, and that's another term, two terms I don't like. I think it's a bunch of elitist BS personally. I don't like those terms. I know that we've gotten used to it. I think it's very confusing. When you talk to the average person on the street, I'm not talking about you guys, because you guys are been hardcore fans for many years. But you talk to a lot of fans, and I'm not even talking about even the people listening to this podcast, because they know how to find a podcast, first of all, and they're hardcore fans if you listen to a podcast. But I don't even like the terms FCS, FBS. I think it's very confusing, very elitist terms.
Well, I agree with you. It can be confusing to an average. I don't get the elitist part, but
I'm just talking about the fact that, in other words, I see it when I say elitist. I'm just saying that, in other words, keep it simple. It's all about branding, and to have subdivision. It sounds like a household, like a subdivision, like you're talking about a house, a housing.
Well, they're saying a subdivision inside Division One. They mean
well, but,
I know,
before there were subdivisions. I get what you're saying. I don't get why they changed it from 1A and 1AA,
I think it was more the opposite, Bubba. I think that 1AA actually didn't like being called 1AA. I think it was actually
Yes.
To make it sound more fair. But
yeah, you're right.
I agree that the terms are stupid. FBS Football Bowl Subdivision and FBS Football Championship Subdivision. And the reason I think it's really stupid is because even at the bowl level, you're still now competing for a championship with the 14 playoff. So I do think 1A and 1AA is a better term. But I think it confuses people. And there are people to this day, and even back then, that would refer to FCS or 1AA as Division II.
Right.
Yes.
That always killed me.
We talked about that earlier. You're right. We talked about off the air earlier about that in our group text, and it's true. I'm not saying that was better. I'm just saying it was easier to explain that than to explain FCS and FBS. There are people that love college football that are not diehard fans. They may love it, that are still confused on those two terms. But anyway, we can talk. Let's talk about. I could go on for hours about that. Do you guys want to talk about the very fact of the different? You want to go through the American first, or where you want to go?
Oh, did you have anything you wanted to mention? Any corrections or anything?
Yeah, I was just going to say earlier when we were talking about the ACC, and I don't know, Trent may have heard me wrong, but I was talking about how Louisville was second in the Atlantic Division, and obviously Louisville is in the Atlantic Division. And then I mentioned the Coastal, and just talking about how I think Duke is currently on top. But you have a lot of teams right there in the Coastal, as you have in recent years, clustered together, vying for that top spot.
I think one of the things you're going to see, guys, is the once this whole thing about going to a championship game, but now isn't it the fact that you can actually have, you don't have to have you don't have to have divisions anymore to have, you could actually have all 12, like in other words, you could have them from top, you don't have them 6 and 6 in two different divisions. You could actually have them playing together. Wouldn't that be, there's a lot of, I'll tell you who doesn't like to be in the Atlantic Division is NC State, and maybe you could argue Wake Forest. But with Florida State being bad right now, it's not as bad. That division, as well as outside of Clemson, is up for grabs, I think, like we were talking about earlier.
Look, the Atlantic and the Coastal, I get the two name divisions confused. The one Clemson plays in, I guess that's the Atlantic.
That's
where Louisville's second. That's why I know Clemson's going to win it. The Coastal, that'll be Duke or Pitt. I thought it was going to be UVA. UVA got exposed against Miami. So it'll be Duke or Pitt that wins that. But yesterday in the American, a lot of good games, man. The best game of the day and the biggest game of the day was Temple upsetting Memphis. Memphis coming in ranked in the top 25, undefeated. And they go down to Temple. Memphis with 4 turnovers in that game. Temple's defense was stingy as always. Memphis still almost came back and won it, but Temple it's not that Temple can't move the ball on offense. It's that they make mistakes in the rhythm a lot. But Memphis, their defense is greedy, man. Great upset for Temple over Memphis yesterday. Their second top 25 win this year. Bubba, did you watch that one?
I did. I was able to catch some of it. That's what Memphis, like you said, had right there around 500 yards of offense, but those 4 turnovers really did them in. I want to say 3 of those 4 turnovers were fumbles, but they were down by 16 in a couple different stages in the first half, and then they battled back and I guess took the lead for a short time before Temple came back and won.
They did, and if Temple had been better in the red zone in the first half, that game would have been over. Memphis
kind of like that Maryland game.
Yes. Memphis did battle back, but then Temple came back. Answer took the lead and hang on the win and got a big win. Another upset of sorts for the conference. USF hosted BYU. Was down at halftime like 16-6, and came back and won it. Their running back was unstoppable.
Yeah, like you said, Kyle, it was 23-14 BYU going into the fourth quarter, and they scored, USF, that is, scored 13 unanswered to win 27-23.
And they got a sore field on one of those. One of those BYU turned the ball over like at the 10, and South Florida was given a short field and got some momentum and rode it. And BYU's quarterback went out, and I believe they were down their third string for the fourth quarter. And he ended up playing well in the last drive and almost brought BYU back for a win. Nice win for the Bulls. Their running back is special. Gonna have to do a good job against him in a few weeks, as we talked about earlier. What else yesterday?
Out in Houston, Cincinnati took care of business. Number 25, Cincinnati took down Houston 38-23.
Yeah,
and Houston Houston hung around a little bit in that ball game, but they just didn't have enough offense. Their quarterback, he did some good things, but he was at one point late in that game, I noticed, and he may have had some drops. I didn't get to see a ton of it, but I know he was 8 for 21 or 22, and they just couldn't get anything consistently going on offense against a quality defense like Cincinnati. But and then you also had Tulane did what you would expect them to do down in New Orleans against UConn, 49-7, and it wasn't that close. And they had 42 points, so probably mid to late third quarter, and played their backup quarterback at least about a quarter and a half. And it was very much like our game against them last year. They ran for over 300 and threw for over 300 in that ball game while limiting UConn to just 234 yards.
Yeah, UConn's bad, and I think as the season goes, they're getting worse. I think they actually were playing okay at the beginning of the year. I think as the season goes, they're getting worse and worse. Attrition. Tulane's good, though. Tulane's really good. Tulsa almost upset the SMU last week. Came out flat in the first half against really the whole game against Navy. I watched some of that. Tulsa looked terrible. Navy had a field day very similar to our game. Only I thought we were putting forth effort against Navy. Tulsa looked flat, man. I don't know if they've cashed it in on the season or if it was just coming off that SMU loss to triple overtime. But,
yeah, that was one, even with it being played in Tulsa, I was very surprised that Navy was only a one-point favorite, even though it was on the road. That's one that if I was a betting man, I would have jumped all over that one. Like you said, Navy won 45-17, ran for about 400 yards, and that one was never in doubt.
And then Malcolm Perry had a big day too, right?
Yeah, Malcolm
really
Perry, I don't know how many yards he ended up with, but it was 166 in the first half. I don't know how many yards he ended up with total, but 166 in the first half.
He's still running now, right? I mean, he was running so much.
he looked good, and that was –
I tell you what, taking a look at the West Division with SMU, Tulane, Navy, and Memphis, and that's going to be a heck of a race to watch the second half of the season.
It is, man. That West Division's loaded. I don't know who I'd pick. Yeah, part of me wants to pick Tulane. I think SMU, they're undefeated. I'm going to be honest with you.
You think we could beat them?
Well, I expect SMU by the end of the season to have two or three losses. I just based on what I've seen. I think they got blown up a little bit too much after beating TCU and Arkansas State. Neither team are as good as people thought they were. SMU's good, but if you put a gun to my head and say pick who's going to win West, I would probably say Tulane, maybe Memphis. I don't think it's going to be SMU, but
as far as that West Division race, remember that Navy has already lost that close ball game at Memphis. I say close ball game. I think it ended up being like 35-23, but that was a game in which Navy led something like 20-7 in the first half, and then Memphis just totally controlled the second half.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be fun to watch that. And then the East is I really think the East is Cincinnati's to lose.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
But, Temple, where is that game at? Is that in Philly or in Cincy?
I believe it's in Cincy.
Okay, Temple, Cincy's going to win the East.
I believe that's in Cincy mid to late November. I want to say it's November 23rd, but I may be mistaken.
I will say this. Cincinnati does have to play, I believe, at Memphis.
That's going to be a good matchup, yep. Now, that can almost be like a pre-conference championship matchup.
Yeah, and speaking of pre-conference championship matchup, the American did a real stupid thing here. I know Memphis and Cincinnati is a bit of a rivalry game, but don't schedule crossover games the last week of the year. Guys, potentially they could be playing each other 2 weeks in a row. Memphis?
They did that again. They did that last year, didn't they? Don't you remember we were talking about last year?
I don't remember. Memphis and Cincy, play each other. Well, no. Last year, UCF and USF closed out the season with each other, and UCF was in the championship game. But
yeah, UCF and Memphis, even though it wasn't back-to-back, and they did, I want to say it was, I take that back. Maybe I'm thinking about 2 years ago, but I know one time, like you were saying, Kyle, it was more in the middle of the season that UCF had lost out at Memphis.
Yes, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can't help that. It's just,
oh, no. Yeah, I wasn't saying that. I was mixing it up, but I was just thinking as far as UCF and Memphis meeting, but I think I was wrong on that as far them meeting late in the season.
Yeah, let me correct myself. I was thinking I had the wrong sport. It was actually when we were talking to Kelly Hines last year with Tulsa World, how Tulsa plays Memphis, right? It's a totally different thing, but they played Memphis in basketball, and then they fly home, and 2 to 3 days later, they have to come right back to play Memphis again. And,
well, that's just how the conference seating goes.
The schedule, that was different.
Yeah,
I know, yeah.
But in football, there's no.
It was totally different. I want to make sure I figured it out.
There's absolutely no reason to play crossover games the last week of the year. You shouldn't be doing it. And I know Memphis and Cincinnati is a rivalry going back to the Metro Conference days in basketball and independent football. All through Conference USA, but they're in different divisions. And now starting next year, you can do it because divisions are gone.
Man, we're going to be playing Navy every single year. We got to be good.
Most likely. We move on from the American. We talked about the SEC some already with Trent. Obviously, Florida LSU was a classic. Nice win for LSU down in Baton Rouge over the Gators. You talk on up in Georgia. We went over that already. Here's one for you. Corey Glore referred to them as a power the other day, the Vanderbilt Commodores, and I questioned all that. and lo and
was
behold,
he talking about baseball?
No, he was talking about baseball.
I know he wasn't.
But lo and behold, they get their asses stomped to UNLV. Did not see that one coming. Typically, to be honest, Vandy does do pretty well non-conferences. In conference, they don't do well.
It's rough, though. It's rough.
That was very surprising yesterday to see UNLV just blow them out because UNLV's not very good. And
right.
I don't know what's going on with that. 34-10 UNLV over the Commodores, and man, that's fire your coach losing right there.
How about, did you see the, they had this in, Yahoo was reading earlier, that they took the, you'll love this, Kyle, they took the Lynn Bowden, he's a star receiver for Kentucky, they move him to quarterback, he used to play quarterback in high school, and they get a big win, 24-20 over Arkansas.
Yeah, slot receiver, I watched it. He was slot receiver, played high school quarterback, their quarterback went down. They moved him to quarterback in the off week, and he beat Arkansas. Now, Arkansas is awful. They are awful. Lost to San Jose State earlier this year. Had a good effort against Texas A&M somehow, but Kentucky needed that. They got them to 3-3. The announcers were making the comments. You know, will he claim the starting job when their starting quarterback gets healthy? I don't think so. But he did a good job in that situation. To come in and lead them to a victory against Arkansas at home from, I believe, with homecoming in Lexington.
You were talking
another result in the SEC is what took place in Knoxville. Obviously, the Vols have had a lot of struggles this year, but they found a way to beat Mississippi State 20-10 on Rocky Top yesterday. And so I know down in Starkville, and they're a little upset.
Yeah,
I would imagine. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Bob. I was looking at Tennessee's schedule and. They're going to look back most likely and go, God mighty, when they look back at losing to Georgia State, BYU, you know, they beat Mississippi State yesterday. Now, who knows, maybe they pull up another upset. But if they win the games, they should. Vanderbilt's struggling, and they still got Vanderbilt to go. They still got Kentucky. Kentucky, you know, overall is not playing very good football. So that's two Tennessee can win. Now, suddenly you're at four wins. And guess who else? They still have a non-conference game against UAB in Knoxville. So that's, if they can take care of business, that's five wins. So if they would have just beaten BYU or Georgia State, they'd be going to a bowl this year. So if they take care of business in those three, they're going to have to find a way to upset somebody else. And lo and behold, after the start of the season, if things go as I think they could, don't be surprised if Tennessee isn't sneaking around trying to get to 6-6. And who the hell would have thought that after their first two games?
You were talking about earlier about Mississippi, the Mississippi schools. How about Mississippi? You were just talking about Mississippi State, too. As they had the article, too, that was funny. I was getting ready to mention that about Joe Moorhead. Things are not going well for them. They're now 3-3. They're 1-2 in the SEC. And, look, they still have all those games in SEC West, LSU, Texas A&M, and they even have Alabama. And they were questioning where they went to the bowl.
Case of a bad fit. Joe Moorhead's a good coach. Getting your first head coaching opportunity in the SEC, being a Yankee, being somebody who – well, let me rephrase that. He had been a head coach at the FCS level before, but he became the offensive coordinator up at Penn State for Franklin. He's somebody here, if we'd have fired Montgomery when I wanted to, that was on my short list. I think it would have been a much better start for him. I think getting your first FBS head coaching job at Mississippi State in the SEC, where you have recruiting disadvantages versus other schools in the SEC, and you're a Yankee, it's not a good fit. Moorhead is a good offensive coach. And
Kyle, if that would have panned out that way with Joe Moorhead making his way to East Carolina, David Blackwell would still be here. I feel certain about that because David Blackwell had been Moorhead's defense coordinator at Fordham.
Well, Blackwell wasn't here when I was wanting to hire Moorhead. It was when he was
there. Was that a second year?
Maybe not season. Still here. He would have come earlier then. How about that?
Yeah, correct. There you go. Don't get me wrong. We're all happy with Mike Houston. Just saying.
No doubt about it.
You know, he was the guy that I had liked his offense at Penn State, looking at his profile, seeing he had been a successful head coach at Colgate. I believe it was Colgate. It was some Northeastern FCS. And,
You talking Moorhead?
Yes.
Yeah, Fordham.
Fordham, that's right, Fordham. You're right. And did a good job there. And he's just a bad fit there. Ole Miss is getting better. They got some problems with talent. But they are getting better. They played a nice game yesterday against Missouri, but, you know, lost, but were competitive.
But that's the thing with Missouri. I mean, they had that postseason ban this year from the NCAA. So
that's
something you have to keep in mind because you look at those East Division standings, you see Missouri on top, but they had that postseason ban. So, obviously, everything really centers around Georgia and Florida that much more.
Yeah.
And now also – I'm sorry, I was just going to say it's nice to see that with that South Carolina upset, they still have a chance to at least play for a bowl this season. They're not going to be playing for the – yeah, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. They'll – what are they now, 3-3?
Yeah, I'm just saying
what a crazy season it's been for the Gamecocks.
Yeah, I was just saying that they, with that big win, if they had only still had two wins with the schedule left, I would have to look at the schedule again. But
they got an interesting one we were talking about earlier. If they play at State in November that's going to be interesting.
You still have Clemson on the schedule.
And you still have App State.
And App State is still, yeah.
Speaking of App State, we'll get to them in a little bit.
Or we can go ahead and
talk about them right now.
No, I wanted to ask about South Carolina. Why in the hell, if you're South Carolina and you're playing an SEC schedule like you are, and you got North Carolina non-conference, and you got Clemson non-conference, why in the hell would you schedule Appalachian State? I mean, I want to say hats off to them, but at the same time,
right.
I almost wonder if it's the other way. Like they were like, "Oh, well, it's just App State. We'll beat their ass."
I really believe that. I think that's. I think unfortunately the problem is, you know, you were talking about the SEC and ACC, which just has Clemson. There are more good teams. Don't get me wrong on the SEC. However, the teams that let me phrase it like this. The teams that are mediocre or not good in the SEC, they think they're better than everybody else when that's not the case. They're in a great league, but that doesn't mean – just because you're in a great league doesn't make you great.
South Carolina's got the talent any given Saturday to beat anybody in the SEC, as we saw, but they also don't have enough talent to take out somebody like Appalachian State for granted.
Right. I mean, they have I'm not saying they don't have talent, but what I'm saying is – They're good enough to win. Their problem is kind of like Tennessee, too. They're another franchise that at least Tennessee has a national championship, but they've had major success in the past. But South Carolina, when they moved to from the ACC to SEC, yes, they're getting all the money. But if you look at they should have stayed in the ACC for many reasons. But
they were independents for several years before joining the SEC.
I know. I'm just saying that, but they moved out because of Al McGuire. He moved them out of the basketball conference, for example. He got mad and moved them. He had been in North Carolina, then eventually South Carolina, and moved them. In fact, the Georgia Tech coach Bobby Kremins played for him in the early 70s, but that's a whole other thing. But I'm just saying that they, in other words, it's just like with Maryland. Maryland moves out of the ACC, and Coach Mo is there now. But they go from having a chance to win the ACC title to, I mean, I don't know how in the world they would ever compete against. You look at look how good Wisconsin's playing, guys. That was one of the teams I know they're good, but they really have dominated so far.
Yeah, Wisconsin's defense is spectacular. They shut out Michigan State yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, probably 38-0.
Yeah. Their defense, that's their third shutout this year, I think.
Fourth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Their defense is spectacular. Wisconsin's the real deal. Them and Ohio State for the SEC title,
right.
The Big Ten title. Should be a war. I believe they play during the regular season.
They do. They play on the 26th at the Horseshoe, so that's one that here in a couple weeks I'm really looking forward to. Like you said, their defense, they've
– You'll be in Greenville.
They're allowing – well, I'll either be in Greenville or I'll be at my son's baseball. But
you'll be in Greenville.
But Wisconsin's allowing less than 5 points a ball game. Now, I think they've – allow 29 points in 6 games, sir.
How about one of the teams to talk about that I know their record is.
Hold on. We got to touch on something here. Bobby, you are potentially going to miss homecoming against South Florida. Oh my goodness, brother.
I am.
You're a bad pirate.
Riley has baseball.
Tell Riley, he's got a bad pirate.
Good dad.
You got to tell Riley, he ain't Kyle Ripken. He can miss a game.
My God, no, that'll go over well with the Stacy. Oh my God, that'll go over really well.
Homecoming, baby. Riley, wouldn't you rather go to homecoming? Come on, man.
But he gets a chance to play the game, right? He gets a chance to play the baseball game.
Yeah.
Instead of watching the game.
But a couple other games, and go ahead, Dave. I know you had a team that you were about to bring up, and then I'll say.
Yeah, there are two teams. I was just going to say, so I was wrong. You know how we always talk about preseason, the teams that we think will be better and improved and overall. That I think, even though the record is 5-1, Michigan. Did you see that? Where I know you guys were talking about it, so obviously that's silly for me to say. We were talking about then the group text,
Illinois.
I mean, they were up. What was it? 28-0.
Yeah, Michigan's not as good as people thought. They are still good. They're just not as good as people thought they were going to be. They're not a playoff contender.
Right. That division's going to come down to Ohio State and Penn State, and I like Ohio State.
In fact, one of the big games this week is going to be Michigan-Penn State, and that is coming up this Saturday. And that'll be I'm just wondering, want to get you guys' opinion on – I'm a big fan of Jim Harbaugh, but do you think he's just going to walk away, or do you think the fan base will push him out because he's not in the – what they? In other words, he's kind of a victim – in my opinion, he's a victim of his own success.
I don't think it'll be this year. They'll probably finish like 9-3 this year, but – I think eventually, if he doesn't get them to the playoffs, they'll push him out. I think it's stupid. I think if you look back at Michigan over the last decade or more, they're not at the level they were. And it's,
right.
You just can't get there overnight. I think Harbaugh's done a good job. I think part of Harbaugh's problem is his mouth. I think if he wouldn't act like he's the greatest coach in college football, maybe people wouldn't expect him to be.
Yes.
It's kind of like with the NFL, Rex Ryan. Yeah, Rex Ryan in the NFL. He was talking about how we're going to go to the I think the Jets went to one AFC championship game, and he was talking about going to the Super Bowl. Of course, everybody, you know what I'm saying, everybody expects to. You don't want to, if you're a competitor, you don't think you're going to go 0-16. But he kind of put himself out there. He's another one at the pro level that did that. How about one that I'm wrong about, too? Let me get this one out before I'm going to go ahead and say Nebraska. I thought Nebraska would be way better.
Well,
would
it's
you?
Not just you. Everybody was wrong about Nebraska. I actually picked Nebraska's mindset of the week over Minnesota. They were 7-point dogs, and Minnesota walked the dog on them. I don't like P.J. Fleck. I think he's a goof. But hats off to P.J. Fleck. He's a way better coach than I ever want to give him credit for. I always think Fleck is a gimmick, and he is a gimmick. But you don't walk the dog on Nebraska, and now you're 6-0 by just being a gimmick. So Hats off to Fleck. I hate him. Well, let me phrase it. I don't hate him. He just ain't my cup of tea. Hats off to him because I've underestimated him for far too long now, and very impressive win yesterday.
Yeah, while we're on Minnesota, like you said, they're 6-0 now after that 34-7 win over Nebraska. Nebraska was without the quarterback, Adrian Martinez.
I didn't know that. All right,
Minnesota ran for over 320 yards in that game, and some of the things I found very interesting surrounding it. Yes, they're 6-0 now, but they've won 8 straight going back to last season. That's their longest win streak since 1948-49. And it's most likely going to get extended to at least 10 because the next 2 weeks they're at Rutgers, and then they have Maryland coming to Minnesota.
So I definitely
like the Golden Gophers to be 8-0 entering the month of November. And, guys, listen to their month of November. They have Penn State. They're at home, and then they go to Iowa, to Northwestern, and then they have Wisconsin, the rivalry game there for Paul Brennan's axe, I guess it is. They have that.
That's one of my favorite. I guess it's not a trophy. That's one of my favorite rivalry games.
For their season finale. So what a month of November is going to be, and I expect Minnesota to be 8-0 entering it, and then who knows, and they'll most likely probably be 9-3 or 10-2 when it's all said and done.
I like Tennessee.
Yep.
Oh, we got barking dogs, guys. Barking.
But as far as that East Division in the Big Ten, when we were talking about the Michigan Wolverines, what a game they have this week. They have an opportunity to get right back into the thick of things as they travel to State College to take on Penn State. Penn State is, of course, still undefeated at 6-0, 3-0. And then you have Michigan at 5-1, and they've played one more game than the Nittany Lions. They're 3-1 in the Big Ten. So that's one to keep an eye on next weekend. And then you have Ohio State as far as when they'll play. Of course, Michigan, the final game of the season, it goes without saying, but then they play Penn State that next to last weekend in the season. So that East Division race will come down to the very end for sure, probably.
Yeah, then you look at the West Division of the Big Ten, dude. I think it's pretty much Wisconsin. I guess Minnesota could have some say in it, as we talked about the Gophers just a minute ago. But I think it's Wisconsin and Minnesota for the West Division, and that's pretty much it. Wouldn't you agree?
I definitely would. I think down the road, Nebraska will come along under Scott Frost. I really think so. But I think people were expecting them to be a little bit too far along this year compared to where they obviously are.
Right. Yeah. Pretty.
And I say that. I mean, they're still probably 4-3. I haven't looked at the remaining schedule, but I fully expect them to probably win at least 7 or 8 ball games and be in a bowl, but they're just not ready to contend for the division just yet.
Oh yeah, some people had them in the playoffs. So yeah,
right.
I move over to the Big 12. You had obviously the big one yesterday in the Big 12 was the Red River Shootout, Red River Robbery, whatever they want to call it, Red River Showdown. They keep changing the name. I thought it was a lot of fun to watch, man. I'll tell you what, you want to hear a raucous crowd. That place is loud because half the crowd's Oklahoma, half the crowd's Texas. It is loud the whole game from the State Fair in Texas.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun to watch. Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley with the big win over Texas. But you know what? They're probably going to have to play each other again because the two best teams in the Big 12 play for the championship, and it'll probably be Oklahoma and Texas.
Speaking of the Big 12, the team that I've been really impressed with, and I think we knew that he was going to turn it around, but how about Baylor? They're undefeated still, number 22 in the country. I really love Matt Rhule. I just want to get you guys. I've been dying to talk about him and Baylor.
Yeah, Matt Rhule's probably the most underrated coach in college football. He did a great job, really, you know, taking Temple to that next level, and the coaches have just continued doing what he's doing, really. And now Matt's gone down to Baylor, and a lot of people thought it would take a long time for him to turn Baylor, you know, into the style of football he wanted to play. It was a disaster when he took over for the whole sexual abuse, rape allegation under the Browse administration. And now Matt Rhule's there in year number 3 and took him to a bowl last year. And they are quietly 6-0 and got a nice win yesterday over Texas Tech, and they're really good. I don't think they'll finish first or second and play for the Big 12 championship. It's possible, but if they finish first or second and play for that Big 12 championship, Matt Rhule needs to be National Coach of the Year.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I was going to say that too. If they keep like undefeated or one loss, my God, I mean, that program. Would you guys argue that it's the NCAA after what they did to the SMU, which is still hurt? I mean, I know they're having a great year this year, but they hurt that program. I was thinking about that this morning. That was a national power back in the day,
and I don't think the NCAA. I think because of that, we'll never do that again.
Right. I'm just saying that was that, but I'm saying my point is they didn't get the death penalty, but it was pretty daggone close. I mean, we'll be monitoring.
I don't know, man. I think Penn State was hit harder, and then of course they lift those sanctions.
Yeah.
But
another one they learned from.
They were hit hard, and it's surprising to me Rhule's doing the job that he's doing there. Just fast. I fully expected Matt Rhule to be successful, but you know when he took that job, guys.
Didn't he get a big contract?
Yes, he wouldn't take it for a 5-year contract because of the situation.
He got seven, right?
7 years. He asked for a 7-year contract to take that job. And he might be regretting that now because he might want to go somewhere bigger.
Nobody can do the buyout.
There's still 4 years left on his contract. It's like he's in year number one. Most contracts are 5 years.
That's a good point. But but it was smart at the time. He didn't know that he'd be able to.
Yeah.
Even as good as he is, I think he's one of the best coaches in college football, and this just proves my point. I think not that I'm the only one that feels that way. I know you guys do too, but I just he's one that I'm glad.
Florida State wants to hire him.
Oh yeah, they. Well, how long do you? I was going to ask that earlier and forgot when we were talking about the teams in ACC. How long do you think Willie Taggart has?
This is what, October.
Yeah, you said four more weeks.
I'd say November. He's got to the end of November. I think he'll be fired. I think he'll be fired at the end of this year. I'd be shocked if he wasn't.
Who would you, if you were Florida State, who would you hire as the coach, next coach after?
I would take a strong look at Matt Rhule. I wasn't just saying that. And the other coach I'd probably look at would be Coach Campbell up at Iowa State.
Oh, well, I hadn't even thought about him. He's done a nice job with them and the Big Ten. I was going to ask you guys too. Which do you think that they? I'm sorry, I do that all the time. Big 12. Which conference do you think is the most improved this year? Would you go with the American, or which conference would you say is as far as top to bottom teams? We know
most
like
improved, meaning over last year.
Yeah.
I don't know, Dave. That's a tough one.
Would you say Big Ten? But they seem to be pretty much the same, with the exception of Minnesota's better this year. But they're pretty much the same as they were. Maybe you could add them. But, I mean, who else? I've been debating that all that morning long. So, in my head, who would be the best conference?
That's a tough question. Who's
or not the best conference. Who's the most improved? The best conference would be the SEC.
Most improved conference. Well, maybe the Big 12.
Oklahoma. Yeah, so you think about the Big 12, obviously with Oklahoma, but you have Kansas. I mean, they're still not good, but they've shown some signs of being improved.
Virginia's taking a step back, but Iowa State's good. TCU, well, I don't know. When you look at it, it was one step up and one step down. Because TCU's not as good as they normally are. Baylor's really good. I don't know. Bubba, the more you think about it, do you still want to say Big 12?
Yes.
I didn't mean to. I thought for sure y'all would have a quick answer, so I didn't know that was going to stump you on that.
It's an interesting question. It just takes some.
What about, do you guys want to talk about Pac-12? Or they've seem to be a. Let's see, you have Arizona State is looking good this year. I tell you another team I want to mention before I was wrong on, and I'll have to say I'm wrong on, and it reminded me when I saw the it reminded me at the very beginning of the season with Oregon. I thought that they were going to be down this year, and look, and lo and behold, they're 5-0. I forgot about, I was wrong on them to kind of write them off. And so that's why I want to mention to them, I wanted to say that I was wrong. I thought, oh, man, they're overrated. And look, here they are. They're 13th in the country. And I don't know if the new poll coming out, but 5-1 now, 3-0 in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I only lost to Auburn. They're good. Besides Oregon, Arizona State, as you mentioned, Herm Edwards doing a nice job. Washington with a nice win over Arizona last night. Arizona's pretty good. USC's pretty good, man. They had that unexcusable upset against BYU, but besides that, you know, and I know they have some situations for their quarterbacks, but you know, USC almost beat Notre Dame last night. You know, they lost, but they were competitive. So yeah, the Pac-12's pretty good. There's not a glaring team at the top of the league. Yeah, I guess you could say Oregon, but I'm not sure that Oregon will end up losing a game or two.
Yeah, it's hard. I didn't mean to. Maybe we can table that, and you guys can think about it. We'll talk about it in a few days on our next podcast. Because
I'm done trying to figure out what the most improved conference is.
Okay,
I'm just talking about the Pac-12 in general. It's hard to say. You know, I think Oregon will win the North.
What do you think, Arizona State?
Arizona State, Bubba. Who do you think will win the South?
Bubba, are you there?
Right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure on as far as the. I've been debating that this morning, so maybe I have too much time on my hands, which is the most improved conference. But I think it goes back to when you were talking about with where I got started with the whole thing. Is what we were talking about earlier, and when we were talking about the American, I was thinking about how much, if you look at, let's go with the conversation this way. When you look at the American, I remember a few years ago, and I know you said, Dave, it's a power league, we had to go there, but I really love Mike Oresko, and I love the conference, and I think we have a good thing rolling with the American. And I think that if you put the American up against what you were talking about earlier with a lot of the teams there, I mean, the more you think about it, you could argue that the American is the most improved, couldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was arguing this morning.
I'd have to go back and look at you know, how the American did last year as a whole. But, yeah, you could definitely make that argument. I mean, you got multiple teams in or just outside the top 25. So, you could definitely make the argument.
In other words, it's more than just basically UCF. It's more than just, like, in other words, in one division in Memphis. I mean, you look at Navy's good, better. You have Tulane has come. I mean,
no,
oh
you know what? You may be right, because you think of Navy, how much better they are. You think of Tulane. You think of SMU. The whole West.
Cincinnati is much better this year.
Cincinnati was a 10-win team last year. Cincinnati's good. UCF's good. But, yeah, maybe the American as a whole is better. You may be right. By the way, guys, the line's out for UCF.
35.
34-point underdogs.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Somewhere ahead of 35.
Do you really think it's going to be that bad?
I definitely could, yeah. I mean,
I know that we could. I mean, I'm not saying that it's going to be like a tight ball game or anything like that. I think UCF is going to win it, but 34 seems kind of strong. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But, I mean, in other words, I'm thinking it's more like a 3-touchdown just – off the top of my head before looking at everything, it's more like a 3-touchdown kind of game. That's just my – maybe
UCF,
I'm wrong on that.
UCF's coming off of an off week, and they're going to be pissed.
Yeah.
I say Ben Chalton Edwards play the backup.
but Kyle said the upset was going to – UCF.
Actually, Bob, Pirate Radio is reporting 34, but where I'm seeing it, it's 35 also.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Trent had told me 35. That's why I was getting 35 from.
Yeah, it's 34, 35. Who cares? I don't know. Let's see. You put the score in your head.
Let's just put it that. As far as it goes, at 34, I don't know that I would touch it, because I would not be surprised to see us lose by more than that. But at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if we kept it a little bit closer either.
Yeah.
I could see it being 41-13 or something like that.
Yeah, you got 48-21. I mean, you know,
yeah.
they didn't cover, but
In other words, what I'm getting at is I think if you look at it, What we're having to face this year is with the fact that, yes, UCF's good, but UCF is not UCF of last year, and we're not – East Carolina is not East Carolina of the last 3 years. I think we're better. I'm not saying we're going to beat them. Don't get me wrong, but I think that's – 34, I think, is based on – I know it's a home game for them. I know they're coming off a bye week. I know they're all that, but I also believe that it's based on – what Kyle calls a Montgomery stank. I think we still have that reputation of being a dog, and I think it's going to be more competitive than – I'm not saying we win it, but I think, man, 34 seems to be strong. I really – maybe.
I predicted it last night. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said 27 was what I predicted the spread to be.
I could see 27 more than I can 34. Like I said, I think it's going to be a 3-touchdown game. That's my gut feeling. I don't think it's going to be, Bubba would say, a fourth-quarter game. I don't think it's going to be a fourth-quarter game, but I don't think we're going to
My problem is, Dave, they're going to come out playing hard against us because they're coming off of a loss. And, you know, they pushed around Stanford like at home, like Stanford was an FCS goal.
Right. So, with our lack of offense, I can certainly see why it's that much.
Yeah, and I think they're going to come out focused and humming. And if they weren't coming off of a loss in an off week, if they were rolling, winning, I would say they'd overlook us and we'd have a chance to make it competitive. But I think it's a bad situation for us to go in. I really do. So I hope we keep everybody healthy and let's get ready and try to be.
Well, that's what I was gonna. You beat me to it. I was gonna say that's the thing I worry about the most with this game. Thinking about it over this past week, because we had no game to really talk about. Is the very fact that UCF. I guess it's kind of like our preview. But the thing I worry about the most is getting a whole bunch of players hurt, especially when we still have a chance. I really believe until we mathematically can, I still think we have a shot at a bowl game. I really do. I'm not saying it's a 100% guarantee, but I still think we can go 6-6, like you said. I'm hoping for 7-5, but after the Temple loss, that one really hurts because that was one of the games that I was hoping we could pull off an upset, especially home Thursday night. We played very well, but not enough to win. But like you guys said, with USF, you're looking at – you basically now have to win one of those the Cincinnati game at home or an SMU on the road. I think it's going to be really tough to win a game on the road with SMU, don't you?
I think 7-5 is asking a bit much. If we have the opportunity last game of the year to play for 6 wins, be happy. I think asking for 7 is a bit much. I mean, quite frankly, I'll be happy with 5.
No, I know. I'm just saying I'm not going to be upset if we go 5-7 or 6-6. My point was with the two games we had FCS, somehow you could pull off a win. The Temple game and that we talked about, the USF game even preseason, is a potential game that we could potentially, being that it was home and USF is not – I know they have their moments, but they're still – I think the thing for USF is consistency, right? That's what we're missing with them right now.
Yeah. No, South Florida, yeah, consistency on offense, definitely.
All right, so what names do you – you want to talk a group of 5 now?
Yeah, or the oppressed 5.
I'm sorry, yeah, oppressed 5, let's do that.
Yeah, last night, Boise State, Hawaii is one me and Bubba had circled, and it was all Boise State. Hawaii wasn't much competition for them, unfortunately. That was one that I watched. We already went over the American. App State.
Yeah, the apps are 24th in both of the polls this week.
Yeah, so Bubba's fired up. His second favorite team since the top 25. at number 24 app is they got a nice win over Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajun. Some other games of interest to me from the group or the oppressed 5 yesterday. I thought Toledo getting upset by Bowling Green was a shock. Toledo was 5-1, looked like they were rolling in the MAC, and Bowling Green shut them down, 120-6. Pretty big upset in the MAC. Northern Illinois has been struggling. Ohio was up big on them, and then NIU comes back and beats Ohio 39-36. So another upset there in the MAC. Conference USA had a great game last night. It was a great game for a while. Southern Miss, North Texas, and Southern Miss.
They pulled away, didn't they? Yeah.
And blew them away. Southern Miss looks good. They got a lot of good receivers. La Tech and Southern Miss. Southern Miss 4-2. La Tech 5-1.
Yeah, Kyle. Who was the La Tech beat again?
The UMass. The worst team in college football. 69-21, I believe it was.
La Tech had 52 at halftime.
Yeah, they put 69 on them, which is appropriate because UMass sucks. That joke's for adults only. Now you got La Tech and Southern Miss setting up for a huge matchup in Conference USA for the West Division, basically. Apologies to UAB, but I think the winner of that certainly has the inside track to the West Division. 3:30 p.m. on the NFL Network Saturday.
Yeah, that's an interesting partnership for sure, don't you think?
Yeah, it's better. You know, NFL or Conference USA television coverage is terrible. I watched Southern Miss, North Texas on Facebook last night, which I will say this, the production and the announcers were fantastic.
Really?
But the problem is people don't know to look for games on Facebook.
Right.
But it was good production and free. Good God, somebody is somewhere loud.
Yes, the baseball song.
So Southern Miss, La Tech, NFL Network, 3:30, big game next week. Other stuff in the so-called Group of Five of note, Bubba. Anything come to mind to you? Okay. Bubba mutes the phone.
No, I choose to mute my phone, so the baseball. So.
Air Force yesterday blew out somebody. I remember thinking it was a shocking score. Who was it that Air Force blew out yesterday?
I'm trying to recall who it was.
I didn't know who they played yesterday, to be honest. I missed out on that. I had a crazy day, but I was trying to keep up with stuff, but I missed out on Air Force to be honest.
Yeah, hold on. I'll look it up.
By the way, guys, I'm looking real quick while you're doing.
It was Fresno State.
Yes.
Because I knew it was somebody that not only was it a blowout, like Kyle said, but it kind of surprised me that it was quite that lopsided. And I know Fresno State's not the Fresno State of the last couple of years, but still a 19-point win over Fresno State was impressive. And then something else I was going to bring up regarding Air Force. It's what Troy Calhoun, their head coach, said after the game. He was just talking about that he didn't know that the Mountain West was the home for them long term, which seemingly came kind of out of the blue. Now, maybe folks closer to that program, maybe that's something that's been tossed around, but that was something that, from my point of view, came kind of out of the blue. And I saw, I think it was on NBC Sports earlier today, and so that will be interesting to see what else
he
said.
He said that post game, huh?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It just kind of came. It was kind of weird.
Wow. I wonder what the fault is. Is he? Are they thinking about going independent? Or are they thinking about joining the American?
I don't know. I know they're in the article. They pointed out how they're in the stretch of games where they just played at Navy, and then here soon they'll be going to Hawaii. But I was like. But obviously the travel is not exactly easy in the American.
No.
And that's all over the place, too. Hey, guys, I want to mention this, too, because this is something I just read, and we were talking about App State. You will not believe this, but the top 25 poll came out. Appalachian State, 24th this week at 5-0.
Oh, my God, Bubba just said that 5 minutes ago.
I didn't hear that. Okay.
I just said that. Yeah, App State was ranked 24th in both polls, and that's what Zach Thomas, the quarterback, I saw an impressive number as far as he's concerned. He is something like 15-16-1 as a starter, and his only loss came in overtime at Penn State, and the Apps are also they have the third longest win streak in the country. They've won, I think it's 11 in a row now, only Clemson and Ohio State have longer win streaks.
24. We and Cincinnati and SMU are the only two that are in the American that are ranked. But we do have Tulane with 55 votes, by the way, Kyle, and UCF has 3 votes. So you have potentially 2 more teams and that are right there knocking at the door of the top 25. So potentially 4 teams in the top 25.
Yeah, I think that's another reason why I think UCF is going to try to get back in the top 25. It's a bad time to be playing the Knights. So, yeah.
We'll see how – well, you never know. We got to play the games. I agree with you guys. It doesn't look good, but stranger things have happened. That's why you had to play the games. And I'm not going to put any money on the game because I don't think we're going to win it. But I would like to see – hope to God we – it's not a – I hope the guys that are drawing the lines and everything, making those up, that it's not a 34-point game. That would be.
Yeah, I don't think they'll put 63 or whatever it was last time we went down there a couple years ago. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I wouldn't.
Was it like 63-21 or something?
It was bad.
Right. Yeah.
Something like that.
It was not good.
I think we'll cover, but. It's a shame to see the line that big.
It really is, but we're fighting, like I said, we're fighting the reputation we've had. So what we have to do is just, as Al Davis, the former owner of the Raiders, used to say, God rest his soul, just win, baby. And that's what we have to do is we have to accept what this year is. We're building the program, and Coach is building the culture, and doing a nice job. I'm very excited that we can sell hope right now where we were hopeless the last 3 years. And you look at the recruiting we've got coming in and then what they're building by the time we have that 2023 game, whoever that's against, the premium game or the buy me game, whoever that'll be, Coach Houston's, what's that, the 5th season. So by then, I think by year 4 or 5 of Houston, we'll be up there competing with at least in the Eastern Division, if not competing for championships in America. And I really believe that. I'll stick to that until I'm proven wrong.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. By year 5, yes. Well, by year 5, we'll either be competing for championships, or he'll probably be gone either to a different school or be fired. So one of the three. So I believe in Coach Houston, and he's going to get a turnaround. It's just going to take time.
It's going to be fun to see. Bubba, I know that with the schedule that we were talking about, the schedule coming up, what about the schedule of our podcast? I know we've got a lot of great guests coming up, including Corey Glore, and we also have Kim McNeil and other great guests coming up too, right, next week?
Yeah, we'll talk to the two. I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said?
I said so next week. It really is this week. I changed. I should have said this week instead of next week, so that's on me.
Yeah, so in addition to Corey Glore and Kim McNeil, we'll catch up with Jeff Allen. He does he's a UCF guy. He does an excellent job, though, with the AAC reports on SoundCloud, and we've had the opportunity to be on his show at least 2, maybe 3 times now. So we'll have Jeff on our show for the first time. We'll also catch up with Jason Beatty, who covers UCF for their 24/7 site. And we'll also talk to Rennie Ingolia, as we're right here at the midway point of the season, and we'll get his thoughts. I know he was on the call last night for Navy and Tulsa, and we'll see his thoughts on the American as well as some of the other conference races going on around college football.
And I'm going to ask him why his UMass team is so awful.
Remember, he's a cop. He can arrest you for that, take you downtown, and press charges against you. I don't know. I do think that, and I think knowing him, he's a stand-up guy. I know he would probably be honest with, just like with our. It's not like we can come on our podcast and under the Mo era, even now, to say we're a great football team or not, people would be laughing at us. So I think it's okay. I did want to say this before we go. I think it's okay for us to that's what we try really hard to do. We're objective, and name of the show. And I think there's times when a guy like Kyle from LaGrange or other people call in and they are honest, and people, and that's why I wanted him to be on the podcast, is the very fact that he's going to give his opinion, and the very fact of that sometimes, I think it's the comfort error. I was thinking about this morning. The comfort error was bad and good at the same time. It was bad for the fact that we had to suffer through it, but it was good for people like Kyle and those of us that stood up to the administration and said, we're not going to take this anymore, and we had change. So now I will say with this, guys, we've got to do something. Now that we have change, what do we do with it? You know, we've got to make sure that now. In other words, this is our time right now. Kyle has a birthday today. He's 20-something now. But but no, seriously, we're in the between our age groups, between the three of us on this podcast, we're in our prime. And it's time for us to – there's a lot of people now that they need to let us have our time. And we have our chance to – they had their time. It's now our time as far as our legacy. What do we want from this program? And we're kind of not – I think the term crossroads is overused, but I do believe that it's kind of like a sense of – the word that came this morning for me for our program is a sense of urgency. And thank God we have – it's the perfect timing for the right coach for us. Mike Houston doesn't pay me to be his spokesman or the two other guys here on this podcast, but I think we have the right coach at the right time, because if we want to, I hate to say climb the mountain or whatever, go to the next level, I hate all those terms, but we really were knocked so far down the ladder that we're fighting our way back up. And with Coach, I think even if he leaves in a handful of years, you can't say that it's going to be worse than it is now. Do you think? I mean, I know anything's possible, but I find it really hard to believe that Coach Houston will leave it less, well, worse than Montgomery.
I mean, Coach Houston's doing a good job building the program. Hopefully he wins at a high enough level that if he's leaving, hopefully he's doing it on his own for another job. So. And let's
all right.
Keep growing the program. And by the way, guys, gloves this out. From what I'm looking at here, it looks like our spread, if I'm overlooking something, it looks like our spread is the biggest line of the week.
Wow. Wow, that's
next,
just...
Next closes is Oklahoma's a 33.5 point favorite against West Virginia.
Oh, my God. That's just... unbelievable, unbelievable. Just like by the way, I'll leave you guys with this. My Washington Redskins look like they have a chance to win their first game of the season against a winless Miami game as we're recording this, so on Sunday afternoon. So we'll see how everything turns out. All right, Bubba Rosenbaum, appreciate you, man. Thank you, Kyle from LaGrange. Thank you, Trent McGee from 94.3 The Game. And for all those guys, I'm Dave Richmond. You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.